Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, it's decision day for the Trans Mountain Pipeline.
Liberals are planning to announce their rubber stamp approval on Trans Mountain after pouring $5 billion of taxpayers' money into it. The project will need at least another $10 billion from taxpayers, and former Liberal Minister David Anderson and so many others say that this project has no business case.
What will be in Andrew Scheer's climate change plan?
Canadians want a government that will take action on climate change. So Andrew Scheer will want Canadians to think he has a plan. And Mr. Scheer will hope that Canadians don't look at the details.
And how is the federal government responding to Quebec's decision on secularism?
We don't believe it's up to a government to tell people what they should wear or what they shouldn't wear. We believe that Canada is already a lay state, so a neutral state, and that's reflected in our institutions. And we're going to defend the Charter. We're the party of the Charter, and we're going to defend it.
It's Tuesday, June 18th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mark.
So today we find out what direction the federal government will take on the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. What do you expect to see?
Well, I like the way Carolyn Bennett, the Minister of Crown and Indigenous Affairs, put it to the Star yesterday when she was asked. She said, there are three scenarios: yes, no, and delay. I think we can probably assume, because the government owns the pipeline, it said it wants the pipeline built, that there's going to be some kind of yes. But it's yes, but, or yes, absolutely. And that, so much, you know, the old saying, the devil's in the details. I guess what we're waiting for to see is, what is the but? How long do the people who want the pipeline built have to wait? When will construction be underway? And is this at all going to satisfy either side in this very polarized debate over this pipeline?
And I think that's a crucial question here, and it's a lesson of being in government and how much harder it is to be in government than to be in opposition, because you can't please everyone. And this is one of those issues on which there, no matter what you decide, there will be a lot of people who are not happy. And if you're not careful, you can end up with people on both sides of the issue not being happy, right?
Which is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see how the government gets out of this, you know, for... On the environmental side, now, ever since the government bought the pipeline, you've heard the lines from the Green Party and the NDP and others. The government bought a leaky old pipeline, and it's putting marine life and basically the environment in danger if it's built. On the other side, you've got very unhappy fans of the pipeline, who include governments, saying this federal government can't get a pipeline built, that the purchase of the pipeline didn't really buy the Trudeau government any kind of capital with the West, as we've seen. It didn't help their relations with Rachel Notley when the court stopped it. Rachel Notley, will recall, sort of put a brake on the carbon tax and her support of that because of the delays in this, and it cost her the election. So I'm not sure that anything that happens today is going to help the government on this debate. It's tried to say that you can marry the environment and the economy. As you say, it's just managed to make a lot of people angry on both sides.
And I guess one of the calculations for the government is going to be, where does it want to pay a political price? And who does it want to, which other party does it end up giving an advantage to as a result of this decision? That may not be the only consideration, but I'm sure it's in the mix, because we're a few months away from a federal election, and this is going to be an issue that will drive a wedge between the Liberals and some voters.
What I'm curious to see, and you've seen some moves in this direction in the last few weeks, is getting Canada's or the Indigenous communities along the pipeline route to buy in, to actually see some of the advantages, the economic advantages from the pipeline. That's an interesting wrinkle in this whole thing, and you would think quell some of the protest. You saw Jason Kenney last week in Alberta, meeting with Indigenous leaders about getting economic buy-in for them on the pipelines and resources. I would not be surprised to hear the government talking in that direction today too. It's an art in politics to get people from moving from the extremes into the middle, especially on an issue like this. But that's, I'll be watching for that today to see what they're doing to try to edge people off the precipice of their various views on either side.
Meanwhile, there's a similar announcement this week from Andrew Scheer that has the potential to be a make-it-or-break-it kind of scenario for his election chances when he comes forward with the Conservative climate change plan for their platform in the federal election campaign. I find it interesting these two things are happening this week, and we may look back in October at this week as a very pivotal one for the federal election.
Definitely. You see people, all the parties, trying to line up their climate change ducks in a row before the election. It's like these are all the sneak previews of the election this last week that Parliament is sitting. What is going to be interesting for Scheer to do, again, to talk about that middle ground, is we can assume that Andrew Scheer is the only party leader opposed to the carbon tax. So he has those votes, but he can't win an election with just the people who are opposed to the carbon tax. He has to demonstrate that he has some qualifications and some understanding and appreciation of climate change to get those people who are worried about climate change and also don't think that a carbon tax is the answer. We've been waiting quite a while to hear what Scheer says about this. He said in ads that the team has been working hard on this. But what beyond opposition to the carbon tax does he have to offer to this debate? We haven't seen that yet. It'll be really interesting to see tomorrow what he does offer.
Yeah, and the pressure will be on for it to be something substantial and reasonable, right?
Yes, and are we going to meet our Paris targets? He says, and they say every day in question period, the Liberal government has not moved us closer to the Paris targets. Well, how do you oppose carbon tax and get to those Paris
right.
targets? That's a good conversation for Canadians to have during the election. Will they? I don't know. But by releasing it this week, Scheer is doing us the courtesy of letting us have the summer to talk about this.
Something else we may be talking about is the federal government's response to Quebec's secularism bill. This ultimately, I'm sure, will end up in court. But what role does the federal government have in this? How do you expect them to respond?
I expect them to respond a little more strongly than we saw yesterday. We saw some people from the federal government, like Anthony Housefather, a Montrealer himself, and chair of the Justice Committee, being very strong in opposition to this. This is like the Liberal brand, if you'll excuse the marketing language, way back to Pierre Trudeau's days. This is charter rights. This was an issue during the last election that Justin Trudeau believed that, we'll remember the wearing of the kneecap was a huge issue in the 2015 campaign. Justin Trudeau believed that he won the election by taking a strong view on this. There wasn't so much talk about it yesterday. Justice Minister Lametti was there talking about, we'll have to wait and see what happens on the ground. But is the federal government going to join as an intervener in these various court cases you mentioned? Is the Prime Minister going to speak out in the tradition of his father for the Charter of Rights and Freedoms? What will Jagmeet Singh say? He is the embodiment of religious wear in Canada and among the federal leaders. He was quiet yesterday, too. We were told we weren't hearing from the leaders because they were at the Raptors, at the day-long Raptors celebration. But I don't think people outside or inside Quebec are going to be satisfied with just a diplomatic silence on this one.
Yeah. You mentioned the Raptors, Andrew Scheer, Justin Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh were all there in Toronto to join in the celebration. Not surprising, especially in an election year, for politicians to maybe want some of the magic of the Raptors run to rub off on them. I think one of the remaining questions is whether they'll be invited to and whether they'll accept an invitation to Parliament Hill to celebrate their championship. It's traditional that they go to the White House, but this is the first Canadian team that has won an NBA championship. So maybe there's a new opportunity here.
Well, we saw Trudeau saying middle of last week, I think a press secretary for him said, we would want to have them come to Ottawa. Time's running out, though. This is the last week Parliament is sitting. Justin Trudeau is off to Washington to meet Trump. So while the Raptors may not be going to the White House, Justin Trudeau is. So that takes away some bit of timing for this, if you assume you want the Prime Minister here to greet them. But we were told last week that negotiations were underway to have the Raptors here before Parliament rises and, you know, to walk into the House of Commons and experience the joy of that and let all the parliamentarians thank them. But we've had no answer yet. Maybe today, maybe all before right. the TMX decision.
We'll see what happens. It would be fun to see that spectacle on Parliament Hill after quite a celebration yesterday in Toronto. Susan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
That's Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star.
We don't believe it's up to a government to tell people what they should wear or what they shouldn't wear. We believe that Canada is already a lay state, so a neutral state, and that's reflected in our institutions. And we're going to defend the Charter. We're the party of the Charter, and we're going to defend it.
Now, let's take a look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In an editorial, the Montreal Gazette calls Bill 21's passage a sad and shameful day for Quebec. The Gazette writes, "This toxic new law brings shame and apprehension. Rather than lowering tensions and bridging divisions, as François Legault suggests, it has increased them and will continue to do so. It will complicate, not promote, the integration of minorities. One can only hope that this odious law will one day be reversed, as a more open and less defensive generation comes of age, unscarred by the powerful role played by religion in Quebec's past." In an editorial, the Globe and Mail argues, Quebec has passed a terrible law, and for the worst reasons. The Globe writes, François Legault and his government have pushed through a poorly conceived law that will face stiff challenges in court. But the worst thing Legault has done is to undermine religious freedom in Canada. Even if the notwithstanding clause provides him with the tool to do so, that won't prevent Canada's name from being tarnished around the world for an abuse of so fundamental a human right. This is a terrible day for Quebec and for Canada. At globalnews.ca, Tasha Carradine argues, Quebec's harsh new laws may echo sentiments felt elsewhere in Canada. Carradine writes, while Quebec may take the heat as the most intolerant province in Canada today, the rest of the country should take a look in the mirror. Curtailing religious expression cannot be justified unless there are reasonable grounds to do so. Otherwise, governments are simply appealing to xenophobia. In an age when populism and anti-immigrant sentiment is on the ascendancy around the world, that is ground Canada cannot afford to tread. At CBC.ca, Paris Marx argues, Liberal concessions on the environment leave the Greens and NDP battling for climate-motivated voters. Marx writes, Andrew Scheer probably won't be the top choice for anyone who considers the environment a priority, and Justin Trudeau has alienated many progressive voters with his government's carve-outs for industry and the purchase of the Trans Mountain Pipeline. With more than 80% of Liberal, NDP, and Green voters saying climate is a top five issue in the fall election, the Liberals' weakness presents the NDP and Greens with an opportunity. Now, let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. As we've discussed, it's been over a year since the federal government bought the Trans Mountain Pipeline and 9 months since a court decision put the whole project on hold. Today, we expect the Trudeau government to give its final go-ahead to the pipeline expansion. CPAC's Martin Stringer has more on what to expect.
Mark, it's widely expected that the pipeline expansion will get the go-ahead from the Trudeau cabinet. After all, the government has a vested interest in seeing the project go ahead. As the owner of the $4.5 billion pipeline expansion project, not going ahead with the project would, of course, be a political and economic setback. The National Energy Board, in its reconsideration report, had added an additional 16 new conditions to the previous 156 conditions that were imposed on the project. Those new conditions are aimed at mitigating the pipeline's impact on the environment and risks to marine wildlife, especially to southern killer whales. The cabinet will also be deciding on whether the other outstanding condition imposed by the court has been met, namely a new set of consultations with local First Nations affected by the project. Those consultations were conducted by former Supreme Court Justice Frank Iacobucci, and they are now finished. Now all we have to wait for is the answer. There's also a small possibility that the cabinet decision could impose some additional conditions, such as minor changes in the route of the pipeline. Several First Nations testified that they needed changes in the pipeline trajectory because of negative environmental impacts. So, Mark, all that remains is to await the decision from the federal cabinet.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will attend the cabinet meeting and question period, and Canadian Heritage Minister Pablo Rodriguez will make an announcement in Halifax. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Tuesday, June the 18th. Tune in to Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.